Thanks, Chris. Well, it was quite an introduction. I'm probably going to cry a lot tonight. I felt like God wrecked me here just before Carmen's word. I saw a picture of almost like in a World War II movie, you know, where the warrior comes back from war and his wife is on the station and she's got her bags and stuff and she sees him. And she drops everything. And she just runs to embrace him. And I kind of feel like that's something that God is wanting to do with us tonight. That we're going to drop things and run and embrace our King. Embrace the one that has done everything for us. He's purchased us. He's got freedom for us. And he doesn't want anything to hold us back from coming to him. And I don't know how well I'm going to do these notes because... oh, just God's love for us, eh? Just came through so much in the prayer meeting and it's been coming through the whole year. It's God's love. And I was going to say, I'm actually going to be sharing on hearing and listening. But what is, and that's going to be the title of the message, is what are you seeing and what are you hearing in God? And this year, what are you seeing and what are you hearing in God? And if you've got an answer for that, you can shout it out. Okay, I'll give you the answer. Drawing us back to our first love. It's been over and over and over and over, prophetic words that come through time and time again. God drawing us back to that place of first love. And I'm going to go back to that place, but I'm going to just get into some scriptures about hearing and seeing. It's one of the things I love, hearing and seeing God. When I first got saved, I had massive authoritarian issues, so I was not really wanting to hear from one man about God. I wanted to hear for myself. And so that kind of drove me on a little thing of, I want to hear you, God. I want to have a relationship with you. And I took it a little bit too far. At one stage, why are you not staying open? So anyway, let's get back in. So we're going to go back to first scripture, Mark 8:16-19. So they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? This is what I want to highlight. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And again, often they're worrying about stuff, bread. When they're going to get the next meal, how are they going to get provided for? And God highlights in on, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? And often if our hearts are not right, we don't see and we don't hear clearly. Our hearts get cluttered with stuff all the time. And I just love this scripture. It's in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Beautiful. Life, if you keep your heart right, and the Bible talks about our hearts are deceitful above all things, that's quite a thing. But to keep our hearts pure before God, like David said, search my heart, O God. So let's be a people who's searching all the time. I've been serving God for 27 years now. And it doesn't stop. You know, you can think you've arrived, and then when you've just arrived, then check that out, booty. And he puts his finger on something in our hearts. And it's not to condemn us, it's not to that, because he wants us to go from glory to glory, to grow in more of him. So, guard your hearts, guys. Life on earth is crazy. We have got TV, we've got series, we've got Facebook, we've got Instagram, we've got Pinterest, we've got movies, we've got YouTube. And they're all in our ears. In the eyes. And what are we hearing and what are we seeing? And often it's not things of God, and they're always building something into us. They're building something either onto our preconditioned way of thinking, they're building into that, or they're trying to deceive us into more things. So Matthew 6, 22 to 23. It's the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so God is wanting us to guard our hearts and to guard our eyes. Because what are we seeing is building into either light or darkness. And it's easy, you know, you can walk around, you can look too long at whatever. Instagram will take you down a journey to wherever if you allow it to. YouTube will take you on a journey wherever, whatever your thing is if you allow it to. And so let's guard what's coming into our eyes and our hearts. And so depending on your personality type and the life lenses you're on will depend on how you hear and see things. So you've heard the story about the glass half full and the glass half empty. So I by nature am a half empty kind of guy. And it took me a long time to learn to shift to seeing the glass half full. I don't know if you've heard the story, Andrew at Andrew Leads Josh Jenny, if you're new here. But Andrew, I think Brad Verena shared it at 412 a few years ago, just how Andrew is one of those guys that can see something where there's literally nothing. And if you go surfing with him, you might stand on the beach and he'll look at the waves, because that's what surfers do. You look at waves and you'll be going like, wow, that isn't, let's paddle out. And I've been on the beach with Andrew where I'm literally like, I'm going to bed, I'm going to sleep, because there's nothing out there that I can see. But just the difference in how you see something. He'll see a wave in a mess, I'll just see a mess. And he'll paddle out and it'll probably get better. Because the glass is either half full, going full, or half empty, going completely empty. And so what kind of people are we? So we want to be a people hanging around with people that are seeing things half full. Seeing things like they're going to get better. Because of why? Not because of, you know, yes to your potential and all that. Because God is with us. So surround yourself with people like that. For me, it was very challenging. I could have been critical, like, just this guy's just believing in all kinds of crazy stuff. But that is what people of God do. You look at guys like Joshua and Caleb. Two guys go with another 10 guys to a land. They come back. They see half full. The other guys are like, hey, we're out of here. Are we seeing what God's seeing? Or are we seeing the other stuff? So look at our own lives. If God asks you, what do you see? Is it what you see about your life? Or is it what God sees about your life? Because we look at our lives through lenses. I'm going to go into a little bit of lenses. And we all have lenses. It doesn't matter who you are and where you've been. Lenses are something we have because of our upbringing, schooling, whatever it is in life. We've all see things through grids. And if you're not aware of it, you need to become aware of it. Because they're going to twist and mold and shape the way that you see things in life. So what can some lenses look like? So dirty lenses. You can get offended. You can have fear. You can be born in a family full of fear. I was born in a family full of fear. It's something I've got to watch all the time. It's probably why I did all the crazy sports I did, because I was trying to overcome fear all the time. And that's just a natural way of doing it. But we all got predispositions towards something. Fear at the moment, what's going on in our country, it can drive into that thing. And you can either look at what the media is saying or what is God saying about South Africa. I don't have the answers, but God does. Racism, big lens at the moment. Religion, we come from church lives, which block us from seeing the love of God a lot of the time. Because God was a man with a big stick and you had to tick a lot of boxes. And so allow God to keep on giving you new lenses. Anger, perfectionism, unforgiveness. Terrible thing to drag around life. I mean, we do a lot of deliverance and praying for guys, and that's probably the key thing for seeing people set free is unforgiveness. Holding a grudge against whoever. You know what they say about unforgiveness? Like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Not a very clever thing to do, but yet we hold on because of hurt and pain. Hopelessness. Nothing will ever change in life. I came into God like that. My whole life was almost preconditioned for chaos, madness, and destruction. So now you come into a family of God where everything is hope, life, and beautiful things. So now how do I get those lenses off? I've got to ask God to get those lenses off me. Critical spirit, critical lens. I was also guilty of that one. Nothing's ever right. Nothing you do will ever be right. You come into church, the sound's not right. Just check it out. They should have put the stage a little bit to the left. That should have been to the left and the right. And yet we do that often. Yeah? And you've got to watch those things because they're going to take away from what God has, because God's not critical. God's a righteous judge. Mistrust. You can be, sitting there at one stage looking at guys up here preaching with mistrust in my heart at times. Like, I can't trust that man. Who is he? You know, he's authoritarian. And yet those things are in us. And trust is given and trust is earned. So it's not a brainless thing. But let's look at things. What are good lenses? Where am I now? 9:25. Just checking time. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians 13:13. So these are, for me, great lenses. Faith, hope, and love. Abide in these, but the greatest of these is love. So if you go to Hebrews, you look at guys who had faith lenses on. That whole book is just full of heroes of the faith. They saw what God was doing. They didn't see what circumstances was doing. Then you got hope, love, and then we're going to go to that love. 1 Corinthians 13:2-8. And I'm just going to go down to what? Love is patient. Where is it now? There we go, verse 4. I'm going to go from there. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not. We're going to move up. Arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Imagine if you could live every day looking through those lenses. Eh? And yet that's the standard that God has for us. And it's unattainable in doing it yourself. But in Him, a gradual glory to glory, He can bring us into those things more and more and more. And the problem with this generation, I think, is often we want things quickly. I wanted things quickly when in our generation, and we're slow compared to you young guys. So I don't know what it's like now. It's like things are instant. You press buttons and it just happens. The process of growing in God is a gradual, steady, continual thing that one must keep on working at and not be discouraged when it doesn't happen like that. If you come for prayer, if you come for... keep on coming until God works in your life. Steadfastness. So are we seeing with the eyes of love, just like Jesus? We should be seeking His kingdom. And at the moment of this country, everyone is seeking politics, and it's just like, I go through businesses and everyone is like crazy. But are we seeking His kingdom? Because that's what's going to stand for eternity. Nothing else. You know, you look on Facebook, people are posting this, that, the other. If you read the comments, it's like unbelievable what people say about one another. And if you think in Jesus' time, if He had Facebook, do you think He would have posted some of that stuff? Romans are on their way to kill me. It sucks. They're corrupt. They want to take over my planet. Help me. 50 likes. See, Father, I'm doing well. No. Quiet, silent, like a lamb led to the slaughter. So different from how we are out there. Me and my rights waving our flags. So just some hearing aids. And I love that this is actually what got me onto this whole preach, was it's in Jeremiah 1:11-12. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. And then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. And just amazing, you know, God asked him, what did you see? Like, he knows what Jeremiah saw. Now he still asks him. So he knows that Jeremiah knows what he knows that he saw is right. And often we can be going thinking like, okay, I've seen God. I know what God's doing. But do we always know what God's doing? And sometimes we don't. So there was a testing in that. And, you know, often I've moved in the prophetic bits and pieces over the years. And the longer I listen to a word, the more it grows, the more it evolves, the more it develops. So I can start here with banana. And you go like, okay, so what banana, Lorne? It's like, no, banana is the color of yellow, and yellow is going to pour out over these people, and they're going to eat bananas, and they're going to be fruitful. Okay, it's a bunch of nonsense. But that's kind of what God does to us. If we ponder and listen to when he's speaking to us, it's so easy to go, God said banana, and off you go and you go buy bananas instead of what buying bananas for somebody else. So let's, when God speaks, let's, it's not like, okay, just do that. God is communicating back and forth all the time. So he's given us leaders, elders to watch and hear over us. And then just one of the mistakes I made in life is this scripture, and we hear it a lot. It's, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Beautiful scripture, but a dangerous scripture as well, if you don't take it into context and balance. And that's in John 10:27, which Anita is very on the ball up there. Thank you. And 1 Corinthians 13:9-10, we look at this scripture. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Now that's how we live in a safety place of hearing from God. We all hear his voice, but we don't have the whole picture. And I came into that whole thing of, you know, anti-establishment and that, and I just wanted to hear God on my own. So I latched onto scripture number one, left number two a bit, and did my own thing for a while. Ended up almost wrecking my spiritual walk. So we got to have, and the counsel of many is wisdom, the Bible says. So when you hear things from God, it's not like you share it one amongst one another. Look at Judas. He walked and talked with Jesus. He saw Jesus. He heard Jesus. And he didn't get it right. How scary is that? Even the disciples around him didn't see it and get it. Okay, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do then. But you walked and you saw Jesus, and still his heart took him on another journey. So 1 Corinthians 13:12, another scripture is like, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So what are we hearing? Is it lining up with God's word? Are we testing it? Are we sharing it amongst the world? It doesn't have to always be with elders. You know, I can often share a word. I'll have a thought in my head. This is what I feel like God's doing. When I go and speak to somebody about that, I already know I'm talking nonsense. But if you don't share it often, it just broods in your head. So I'll think of something, this is what I'm thinking, and I'll go and I'll say, hey, Russell, I'm thinking this, and you know what, maybe I'm just leave it alone. Because when I voice it and I put it out there, I actually start looking at it objectively as well, as not just allowing it to spin around inside me. So let each other point things out to you. We heard tonight about we're all priests. It's not me and Chris and Corbus. It's a whole all of us. And we all should be hearing from God. Not everything, but we're seeing in bits and pieces and parts. We should be, iron sharpens iron. So we'd keep each other accountable to what is God's word. And be open to correction. If you're having coffee with Chris and you're chatting about something and he puts up a little thing, but what about this scripture? Are you going to stop and allow that scripture to invade your life and speak to it? Or are you going to go, nah, I'm feeling this? Because it's easy to do that if you come into something with preset, preconceived ideas of, I've heard God. Always hold things lightly. Have the right attitude and always be open to hear what the Spirit is saying. So we've got some safety nets. We've got the fivefold ministry. How differently do they all hear God? Very different. Apostolic, prophetic, evangelists. You all go out in the streets, get everyone saved by tomorrow morning. Teachers, you'll be here, you'll be just making notes. Pastors, just love you guys, man. Love you, man. Just love you guys. Just love you guys. Eh? All different angles of one God. So you got elders, like Chris said, me and Chris are way different. Serve one God. You're all way different. If ever you get to be up here, you be who God's called you to be. I can't be Chris. Chris can't be me. I can't be Russell. I can only be who I am in God and be faithful to that. And that's freedom. Jesus is the hero, no one else. So I love it when people, you know, I was talking about being open and just sharing when you hear things from God. And Sherry Lee phoned me up the other day. What do you think? She wants to buy a car. So she's like, she feels like she's going in this journey. Not just go out and buy a car and just, hey, check the car I've bought. Would you like it? I was like, yeah, but hey, now you've got to deal with all this in life. So she actually came and she presented it to me. What do you think about this? And I could see she was sold on this thing, idea. You know, it was like, and now I'm like, I don't think this is a good thing. Now I've got to either be, ugh, it's fine, you buy the car. I don't want to hurt her feelings. I'm like, I don't feel it's right in God. So I do what I feel is right. It's not right. I don't think it's right. And because of this, this, and this. She's like, you know what? Two other people said the same thing to me. So then she knows God is speaking to her. It's not Rob speaking to her. And God did speak to me. But God spoke to her clearly through other people. That's how we should be. Not just, hey, I've done this. What do you think? It's like, hey, God, I bought this. And what? Oh, sorry, I didn't consult you. Let's be a people that share things. Because often we don't hear. We see in part, we hear in part. And on this journey of hearing and seeing God, don't be fearful. You know, getting it wrong, you're going to get it wrong. Just settle that now. You're going to think you heard God and you didn't. I've heard so many things that I thought were God, which were just rubbish. And my heart deceived me. And would have led me down all kinds of pathways. But if your heart is like, God, I'm trying to do this for you, then keep on bringing words, following God, sharing it. You're going to grow. It's like when you do something and you can look at it and analyze it. You can actually say, okay, that's where I've grown. That's where I did it wrong. That was me. That was the devil. And that was God. And you can look at it objectively. And let people speak into your life. Like when you brought it, you were too harsh, you were too soft. Be more confident. I feel like God is, you know, people speak into your lives. So I value it when people point me back to the truth if I mess up. Because it's going to keep me on the way of life and truth. And so always be that kind of people. Like, you can knock me back as long as you knock me back to where God wants us to go. Let's be those kind of people. So watch out for rejection. When I went through my little phase of messing up because I didn't submit and listen and was accountable, I came back with a whole lot of baggage. And so I called to be, do something in God. I had a whole lot of rejection now, because how can I trust myself? How can I do anything in God and trust God to overcome those kind of things? There's all kinds of fears, all kinds of things in our head which were like, okay, this is not God. Okay, seeing clearly with understanding. If we don't hear and see clearly, we won't be able to do what God is requiring us to do correctly. And Leonie the other day, she was doing a tax, and she asked me to come through to the tax guys. And next to this tax office was another company, and the guy walked in as we were kind of leaving. And so I was end up talking to strangers, what do you do, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, we got a company, learning with comprehension. So you kind of think like, well, isn't that what we're all supposed to do, learn with comprehension? Evidently not. They are doing this course in schools all around the country because there's a lot of learning going on without comprehension. And so you can hear things and see things and not comprehend things. And so the same in God's house. Are we comprehending when God speaks and God shows us stuff? And I love it in Isaiah 11:2. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now they're talking about Jesus there. Now he lives and dwells within us. We've got access to all that. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All in Jesus. We can ask for that. So how does seeing come? You got Ephesians 1, 17 to 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I love this. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, that you are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I just give thanks for may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. So when we hear and see, it's something of God's spirit highlighting in our hearts. We did a prayer time on Tuesday. Nigel and Tanya came. We went to Gordon's Bay to pray for some guys. And for me, it was great to see Nigel stepping out like in a whole new level. He's been doing deliverance with us for, I don't know, about a year now. And he just said something in the car of just like he's been observing and observing. So he's been observing and what God is speaking to him, but not always sharing it, but then it comes out. And this Tuesday, he was like a bull in a china shop when we started there. And it's just like, the spirit of witchcraft and it's this and that, and the girl was just like, she'd had curses over her from voodoo stuff and all kinds of things, and it just broke something open. But he's been observing, watching, seeing, hearing what's been going on. It's built up a confidence in him which he's now stepping out into, which I've been waiting for, and it's like, because now there's more in this guy. And it was amazing to see how just he stepped into that space. And God's got that for all of us. Not okay in the same areas, but wherever. And that was part of breaking open something in their lives. So how does hearing come? We go to Romans 10:17. And this is why we need to hear so well. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Are we hearing God in his word? And when he speaks, his rhema word, saying the prophetic words that come over, words of knowledge, those kind of things, are we hearing God? Because if we hear God correctly and not through our lenses, some people, you'll tell them God loves you and they'll be like, God's a big stick in China, I can't accept that, because they got a lens. So I love this week. We were away, and it's great to be back with you last weekend. It wasn't really a holiday. It was a time of being with the family. So it's been very difficult because Leonie's dad's in old age home with Alzheimer's, and he's just gone back a lot in the last 6 months. So he can hardly walk at the moment, just the man is not there really. So, and we had to sort out some family issues because of backbiting and divisiveness and stuff that had come in. So it wasn't really a holiday. But Monday night, when we got back, Leonie looked like roadkill. Honestly, she was exhausted. And I was actually, I haven't been worried about my wife for a long time. And I was actually like, whoa, God, this, she looks like it took a lot out of her. And it was Monday. Tuesday morning, I wake up, I don't know, she's been up since 4:30 in the morning, spending time with God. Hearing God, what are you saying? What are you doing in my life? Because circumstances are terrible. I feel better than that. And she went and she sat with God. And she heard God. And God spoke to her through his word. And I was like, Tuesday, the spark's back. Boom. Life's there again. Why? Because she heard God. She saw God. And life came into her again. And when things get rough and things get tough, that's where we got to go, guys. We can't go anywhere else. Push into God. He is our life. The way, the truth, and the life. And I love that. Nothing else changed, but she changed. What are we doing for time here? Okay, I have to move here, but I have to leave out some guys. I just want to look at Jesus. This is the one that we're hearing and seeing from all the time. I just want to go through a portion of scripture. It's two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So it's in Luke 24:13-35. I'll just read through it quickly. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened, Jesus being crucified. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Like, God didn't know. And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and then they did not find his body. They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." And then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. They still didn't see him. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. And how's this? He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening that the day is now." He actually pretended like he was going to carry on, like God's going to pretend that he's not. How is God? "Stay with us, for it is towards evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. Then he was at the table with them, and he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. How's that? Just like, here I am, now I'm gone. Boom. And they said to each other, "Did our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose at that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. So just 8 things I want to just take out of that scripture. We go back. Jesus drew near and went with them. The whole of tonight, often it's like God is drawing near, God is drawing near. And did circumstances stop them from seeing him? Here's Jesus, they've walked with him. Now he's walking with them, and now they can't recognize him. So were they so worried about the fact that Jesus is not here that they couldn't actually even see him? They were sad. Their dream of a leader smashed to pieces. All their hopes, dreams, everything gone. So disillusioned that they can't actually see the truth walking in front of them. And I love this one part where they say here, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" In your circumstances, how often have you done that to God? Do you not know what I'm going through? Have you no idea the suffering and the pain and the circumstances? I'm sure none of you have, but I've done that. Like God, like you're speaking to God who knows everything. Then he rebukes them for not believing the scriptures, and they were defeated by their circumstances. So he actually points them back to the truth. They're wallowing in the fact that everything's messed up. All my promises, all my dreams, all my hopes, trashed. And he's pointing them back to them. A man they think is a stranger, what does the word of God say about that king who you and I are mourning and sad about? And then that thing which I said, that how's God? He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly to stay. Sometimes I think God tests us. It seems like God's going to do something like he did with Abraham. Like, no, 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 you've got to do it. And to test us, what are we going to do in a situation? Often when you deal with a thing in your heart, God's like, okay, no, actually fine, we can go this way now. And so we've got to watch for these little things that God does in our lives. When he's speaking in that. Number 6, it's like they invite him in even when they can't see clearly. Do we invite God into our lives when we can't see clearly? When everything's a blur, do we mess or do we withdraw? And after they invited him in, what happens? He opens their eyes. They invited him in, then their eyes were opened. And what did it happen through? Fellowship and communion. They actually partook of fellowship with God and had communion with him. And then that thing is, did our hearts not burn with us while he talked to us on the road? And how often is it that you know something in your heart, that something's burning, you're not sure before God actually speaks to you, before you hear from him? There's a sense and knowing, there's a burning in your heart. Chris spoke about it, about children's ministry. There might have been a burning in your heart before he said, okay, now go do children's ministry. And that's the reality, how that's going to break into our lives in the now. Okay, so let's move down. Let's go to Acts 9:17-19. So I'm looking at someone else's life. And I love this. This is Paul. And this is him on the road to Damascus. And a fanatic, a killer on his way to Damascus, has an encounter with Jesus. And he's actually blinded initially. He has such a powerful encounter, he's actually blinded. He can't see anything. And I love this in verse 17. And laying hands on him, he said, so Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. And then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. So when we really see God, when we have a real encounter with Jesus, there should be a scale coming off our eyes all the time. All the time I'm having a greater revelation of God, who he is, how mighty he is, how powerful he is. When you have an encounter with God, when you take, you think that Paul was like religious nutcase on steroids, killing the people of God. It's like ISIS. Jewish ISIS. Just to put it into context, how God turns a life around, that he lays his life down for the people that he wanted to kill by seeing and hearing God, having an encounter with God. So what in your life stops you from not changing if you have encounters with God? I have to wrap up. So just another one was the woman at the well. And she had another encounter with God. And these are like first love encounters. This is what happened to me and you when we first encountered Jesus. And that's what God's calling us back to, is to those encounters. I remember when I first got saved, I ran down the aisle snotting and crying and thinking I was going off my head, because what are people going to think of me? Because I was like Cactus Jack. I was so hard and full of everything that I shouldn't have been full of. And yet God turns your life around. And those are like first love encounters. And then you're like, this God. It's like black and white. There was no like, I'm going to figure it out and I'll do a thesis on this guy Jesus and that. It's like he knocked you upside down that you didn't know what was going on. I cried for a year, I think. Every time I came into a meeting, I literally cried and wept because of the love of God for me. Why would you do that for me? I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, you know the things that I did. You know who I was, and yet you died for me. I think sometimes we come to church and it's like we forget that. I mean, 27 years, when I hear this thing about first love, at times I thought like, ugh, here again, first love. Now you must crank up this love and, you know. But life does that to you. Love fades if you don't work at it. In marriage, you know, I look at this woman, I drove all the way across town chasing her, you know, spend time with her, be with her. And it's easy after 18 years, I think, this year. It would be easy just to take her for granted. No, she must love me. I don't have to do anything for her. She must love me. We're married. And we can do the same thing with God. It's like, no, God died for me. He must love me. So just do your thing, God. But we need to be a people that's responding, drawing back to him, giving him. So I think I'm going to leave the woman at the well. So just for me, what I see for us in this house, not in just this house, but in Josh Jen, is that thing of first love. So are we having Paul encounters? Are we having those encounters like the woman at the well, where radical transformation takes in our lives? Or do we reason things away? It's easy to fall in love with things. I love things at times. You know, I've loved surfing. I love sports stuff. So that's like I can give my heart to all kinds of things like that. And for me, a heart sometimes is like a corporate ladder. And if you've worked in a corporate environment, it can get ugly because there's people walking up your back and tripping you. And love for things is a little bit like that. It's like, nah. But who must be on the top of that ladder? If Jesus is on top of that ladder, then you can love things because then it's in right priority. But often those things are, they're fighting us all the time. I had a thing now, I hurt my foot mountain biking. So because I allowed surfing to be an idol in my life, God kind of took it away from me through injuries and stuff. So I hurt my foot, and I started thinking like, oh God, you're going to take mountain biking from me. And I had to sit there and process, where is my heart with mountain biking? Where are you on the ladder of life? Are you creeping up there above Jesus? Are you giving me fulfillment on a Saturday morning more than God is? And I had to really look at my heart and examine it. And I don't think it was, so I think I can still ride mountain bike. But I got to guard my heart all the time. Things want me to fall in love. My wife, I can love her more than Jesus. I can wake up in the morning and, hey babes, every morning. And these mornings you got to do that. But these other mornings I'm like, I got to wake up, hey God, you're the one I adore. You're the one I love. Because if I get that right, then this is going to be beautiful. But if I make her the one I love, then I turn into idol, and then she can't meet the expectations because she's not a God. And idols are terrible things. You got to work for them. You got to cut up food and go and feed them, and they give you no results. So let's not have idols. I think let's land there. I just want to read us a hymn. Let's turn your eyes to Jesus. I just want to read this. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the world, of the earth, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so God's drawing us back into that space where we leave behind dirty lenses, where we leave behind false lovers. And that can be different from all of us. And so I'd love us to respond just to him. And like Chris shared earlier on, this is not a holy space up front. But in the spiritual realm, it's a holy space if you respond to God. If you respond to God over there, that's going to be a holy space because you're going to connect with the heaven, with the Heavenly Father. And so I'd love, just with all eyes closed, just if there's someone here and you've never experienced Jesus, you've never heard about Jesus, you know that he died for you, that he laid down his life for you, even when you were an enemy. And I just want to give an opportunity. If you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, if you want to say, God, I want a relationship, I want to hear you, I want to see you, I want to experience you, then I want to give you that opportunity just to say, yeah, Jesus, here I am. I did it 27 years ago, best thing I ever did in my life. Not always easy, but there is no other way to live life. So if there's anyone here who's never given their life to Jesus, just by way of raising your hand, just so I could see that you're responding, not to me, that you're responding to Jesus, you want to accept him into your life tonight, you just want to lift your hand. Jesus.